Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pop Douglas on this show hour and a half ago or so, and I know for one, Courtney is great with that explanation on why he was chuckling about whether or not it was a design play or what have.
I just think it shows somebody who is very confident in themselves. Like, I really think that a lot of guys would become very defensive when Curtis says, you know, some people were upset with the way you answered that question. For him to just say, nobody's going to steal my joy, I just thought that it was a very honest answer, and I don't think you'd get that from a lot of guys.
I feel like Patriots fans feel like Pop Douglas stole their joy.
That is true.
It depends on whether or not it bothered you. Like, when I heard it, it didn't bother you? No, I didn't even think about it until...
That we were talking about it
Monday
morning.
Until people were bringing it up, right?
It bothered me, but right. The explanation is a good one. Like, he said, you know, he acknowledged that it was a mistake, and that, and I, so, like, well, he's a young guy, and he's gonna make mistakes, and so I feel better about
it. What bothered me more is not being aware of where you were on the field, like, and understanding the situation. Like, that bothered me more than the giggle or the laugh or the awkward smile or whatever he did. So that was bothersome to me is not really when you're like, well, I kind of knew, but no, in that situation, pre-snap, you have to know. If you have, depending on your route, if it is a flat route, if it's one of those routes that are a little bit shorter, you have to take it a little bit deeper knowing that it's 4th and 2. So, like, that bothered me more is you not being aware of that situation.
And one thing that is totally different this year, and it is a mistake by the media and many fans, if this is last year's team, we're not talking about the smile as much as we are about the undisciplined approach by the team and it being an indictment on the head coach. And I'm sorry, I love Mike Vrabel. He does a great job with us on Mondays. But if your players don't understand situational football, that's on the coach. And I know in the NFL that we should blame the players, and we certainly have with Pop Douglas. But this is one of several occurrences in the first 3 games of the season that I thought would have been drastically improved from last year.
It's abhorrent.
And that's the fortunate part for Vrabel is he has the Tennessee head coaching experience and view for the fans to be like, oh, he did it before, where a guy like Mayo never had that he didn't have that to fall back on. So people instantly criticized him and looked at everything with a fine-tooth comb, where Vrabel, he has the ability, even though it's unfair, to people be like, oh, he coached Tennessee too, and he was a really good head coach. So now people just instantly think, like, all right, give him some time. He'll figure it out.
What do you guys think the storyline is on Monday if the Patriots lose?
Wow. Oof.
I think it's going to depend. Does it fall on Ramondre again? Like, was he butterfingers?
Is it turnovers?
Was it turnovers?
Greg's going to have butterfingers.
If the offense doesn't look great, we already know Shime's going. It's Josh McDaniels.
Did Christian Gonzalez not play?
Or did he play?
Butter hands?
No, he is playing on Sunday. There's no way he's not playing on Sunday based on what Mike Vrabel said.
No, he's going to play, but how does he look, you know?
And how much is he playing?
Right.
We're talking about Christian Gonzalez?
No, I'm talking about Gonzalez.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
He's going to play.
But how much is he going to play?
See, my thought is I don't know that he plays 100% of the snaps. Like, I think he probably plays only 50% as a gear up to get ready for the Bills next week.
He's had 8 months to heal.
It's been, 2 months, but still.
Oh, yes. I mean, give me a break. Like,
if they lose to Carolina, I think the thing is that people are going to be like, wow, we overestimated what Vrabel can do because this team stinks.
They shouldn't lose to Carolina.
But here, Greg asked the question, if they what would be the conversation be?
I agree, Wiggum.
Oh, sorry, Curtis.
They need to win by like 10 this week.
Right, but if they don't, then it's going to be like, this team stinks.
Yes, I agree. It is going to be an absolute nightmare if you lose to the Carolina Panthers. The Carolina Panthers are not good at football at all. And you should be, you could conceivably be 3-0. Like, you should have beaten the Vegas Raiders,
right,
but you didn't. And you should have beaten the Steelers, but you turned the ball over five times.
Right. I don't want to be Debbie Downer, Sean, but you could easily be 0-3 if the running back doesn't put his foot out of bounds in Miami. Like, you were literally an inch away from being 0-3.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I guess that's possible. There was still a minute and change on the clock.
And Drake is great in those situations.
But they would have just killed the clock.
I mean, he's done it once before.
No, but they would have killed the clock. I think the situation that they were in that game is they would have just killed the clock and then kicked the field goal. And
he scored the touchdown, but he had stepped out of bounds.
If he didn't, if his foot is an inch smaller, then that's a touchdown. His foot doesn't go out of bounds.
Oh, yeah.
And the Patriots get the ball back with a minute six.
But if he scores the touchdown, wouldn't that have put the Miami up by two scores?
No.
No, the Patriots.
They would have been up by a point. Right. All you need is a field goal.
All right.
978 text on the Subaru of New England text line. The only people Douglas bothered with his smiling and laughing is you negative media clowns.
That's so hurtful. That sounds like a pretty negative text.
I don't think it bothered everybody. Like, yeah, it didn't bother me. I thought it was like a nervous laugh when he answered it.
Well, you didn't mind it.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. I told you, I was more critical about, you know, his unawareness of the play.
But I understand coaching and discipline and all that, but you're not. Is anybody trying to argue that Pop Douglas was not aware that it was a 4th-and-2 and that they needed to get the first down?
Well, May kind of said it. Drake was like, I should have reminded him.
Drake said, trying to defend him, said, I could have reminded him in the huddle.
Okay, like, to me, that makes it seem like he didn't know.
He knew it was 4th-down, and he knew it was 4th-and-2. He just didn't, he was unaware of where he was on the field when he caught the football and he ran the route.
That's not what Drake was saying in that moment. But yes, I agree with you.
Right. My disappointment in Pop Douglas is that the Patriots should be better losers. They've done a lot of it. Like, they should know how to do it properly. And if they lose this weekend, I don't think they will. They will be 3-17 in their last 20 games. And it's really 2-18 because the only game they won, they tried to lose with the Bills last year in the final game of the season, which is historically awful. There can't be another team in football that has a worse home record over the last 20 games. And you're going to be 1-3 for the 4th consecutive season?
That won't be a good look. And I don't put anything on Drake May, but I just say, as the quarterback, as somebody who was in that huddle before, they should be, and not just Drake, but the receivers, everybody should be like, hey, make sure we're getting beyond the sticks. Don't forget, it's 4th-and-2. Like, before we even break the huddle, we should be reiterating in there, everybody, that, hey, make sure you get beyond the sticks.
Oftentimes, when you join the huddle, the quarterback would say, what's burning?
No, never that.
No.
Because I wasn't the only one who smoked in a huddle. Believe that.
You didn't smoke before games anyway.
No, hell no. Yeah. No, he's out of your mind. No,
ask never. Josh Gordon.
No, yeah, never, I can't never, I can't never. Smoke and operate.
What about the night before?
Huh?
What about the night before?
No, that's a shirt. I can't smoke and operate.
Nope. Hey,
I like that.
Dr. Wiggs.
Yeah, I'll be like really out of it.
Yeah, and if it's edibles, it's game over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even mess around with the
what's
edibles.
What's the movie? Is it Hall Pass where the guy poops in the sand trap?
What?
I think it is, yes. That's a good movie, by the way.
They got some really bad edibles. And
that was Jason Sudeikis, right?
And no, it was the Ryan British Reynolds? Actor. That's really funny. I don't remember his
was
name.
Was Ryan Reynolds in that one?
I don't
think. Owen Wilson was in Hall Pass?
You might be right about it. I'm not sure.
Hall Pass poop. Let's see. Here we go. Diarrhea scene. That sounds lovely. Anyway.
I just think that I think to answer Curtis's question, if you lose to Carolina, I think people are going to be like, this team stinks.
Yeah.
Stinks.
You know, I believe they turn it around and win this football game. I'm not, it doesn't concern me.
No, I mean.
Do you think they barely win, or do you think that they really crush them?
I think they win by, would you call barely winning a field goal or win by a touchdown? I think they win by a touchdown.
I think it's by 10. A weird gambling stat for you, just for those out there curious. Underdogs who win outright and then play again the next week as underdogs, lose at like a 70% clip. Like, don't cover the spread at like a 70% clip. Mm. So the Patriots should, at least according to history, 70% of the time, should cover this 5.5.
Good time for this week's Cross Insurance Player Spotlight. And who do you want to put it on with the Panthers Sunday?
I'm going to put it on Christian Gonzalez.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
I want to see what he looks like. Because we know when the Patriots lose games, it's because generally their secondary has given something up. So I want to see what Gonzalez looks like, how much he plays, and does he make a difference.
There probably also needs to be a small spotlight on Ramondre Stevenson, because Definitely. If he does play, he cannot fumble the football. If he fumbles the football again and plays in limited time, like, you have to cut him. You can no longer keep him on the roster.
Yeah, I like those. And speaking of gambling, if the Patriots win like we expect by a touchdown or so, what's the line Patriots-Bills next Sunday? They 10-point dogs?
No, I don't think quite 10.
Probably 7.5.
Yeah, I was going to say 7.5, 8.5.
Oh, give me Buffalo.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I can probably take a look at what the look-ahead line is if you'd like.
I would love a look-ahead line.
The look-ahead, Curtis. Get naughty. As of right now, Bills 10-point favorites.
Bang!
As of right this minute. Right. If the Patriots win, though, and they win convincingly, that number will come down slightly, I bet.
Yeah.
Yep. Right again.
Mm. You got a lock of the week college-wise, Curtis?
No, I quit. I'm so bad.
Really?
I don't want to hurt people. People
Not
need
Curtis's
to save
year.
Money. Yeah, it's just, you know, most of my life I've been wrong. Last year was an anomaly. So I'm just going to stay on the sidelines. I do. If BC loses to Cal, I think we should boycott Billy O for a week.
Oh, gosh.
Bulldogs?
Lock it up. Yeah, lock the dogs up. Lock the dogs. Huge, huge win against Tennessee in Tennessee where they have to come back. I would say lock it up. When you look at Alabama, the new head coach, there's a lot of like whispers around him and everything like that. If I'm going to give you a lock, I take my dogs all day long.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons back here at Fenway Park on a Patriots Friday, and we go to the guest line now for our weekly chat with one of the Patriots coordinators. This week it's Josh McDaniels, and Josh McDaniels is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Josh McDaniels, how are we doing this week?
Great. How you guys doing?
We're good. I wanted to start, probably no surprise to you, with the quarterback. Last time we talked to you, people were asking questions about, is there too much on Drake May's plate? There's been a couple games since then, a really nice performance in Miami. And then what I personally thought was a pretty good performance last week, if you could just sort of take away the turnovers. I wonder how the last couple weeks you've seen Drake May develop.
Yeah, I mean, I think every week, as we talked about earlier, and certainly seems to be the conversation, it is an opportunity for him to continue to grow and improve. And I am really excited about what he does on a weekly basis. He's experiencing plenty for the first time, and I think he's done plenty of things well. And then there's some things that we're learning how to do better and we learn from. So he's a pretty quick study. Like I said, I'm super excited about what you know, what the future holds for him. But he attacks each week the right way, and certainly think we've seen some progress from him in a lot of different areas.
So, Josh, those of us that have been watching the New England Patriots for far too much of our lives have a good idea how the Bill Belichick administration would have handled a game or the aftermath of a game where there were 5-6 turnovers, depending on if you count the downs. How does the Vrabel administration handle it? What's been the internal reaction, and how have you guys tried to clean that up going forward this week?
Well, I'll let Rabe speak for himself about that, obviously. But our job offensively is to score points and protect the ball. And so from a coaching perspective, you know, if there's things that show up in a game, which there always is, because this is a sport of imperfection, we're going to have to try to fix the things and continue to work on the things that we don't feel like we're doing well enough, whatever those might be. And those are constant. So this last week so happened to be the turnover bug. And so, you know, handling it with, you know, fundamentals and creating good habits of ball security. And again, you work on that every day in football. And so, but I think it's easy to say that, you know, when you don't do it well enough, that you haven't created a good enough habit. So from a coaching perspective, it's our job to try to ingrain those habits into our players and to, you know, eventually get to the point where we're playing penalty-free, turnover-free football and see what the results look like when we get that to that point.
Josh, Travion Henderson is a guy that a lot of Patriots fans were really excited about, not just on draft day, but seeing him this summer. Preseason action hasn't gotten off to the greatest of starts through 3 weeks. Just wondering, what can Travion Henderson do to make better use of what opportunities he gets?
I'm not discouraged with Travion at all. I think Travion's also, you know, learning each time he goes out there. I've had a lot of different backs, you know, in their first year, you know, and the production is, you know, it comes, you know, when it's time to come, you know what I mean? And the reality is they're learning as they go. Each week's a different challenge for them. They're preparing for NFL opponents for the first time. This will be his fourth opportunity to do so. There's a lot that goes into being ready to do a lot of different things well on game day. And Travion works really hard. He's very diligent about his preparation. We know he has talent, you know, and it's a matter of continuing to improve and make progress. So I'm excited about what Travion's going to do for a long time here and, you know, eager to continue to work with him and help him get there.
Josh, I believe Drake May is your leading rusher through three games on the season with 87 yards on the ground. What do you believe it's going to take to get the ground game going? And could the Carolina Panthers and their 25th ranked rushing defense be the right opponent for you guys to get that going?
I think running the football is, you know, about your, you know, your execution, your mindset, you know, and doing it in a way that's penalty free, you know. And so we've had moments for sure. There's certainly been opportunities, some flashes of good stuff that we like. We just need to be more consistent. And so that's, you know, starts with me and trying to do the right things and put together a good plan for our guys with our staff and give them an opportunity to go out there and continue to, you know, to do those things the right way. So we'll continue to work at it. Where you start is generally never where you finish. And so, you know, we have a lot to improve on, and that's certainly one aspect of our game that we need to do so.
Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels here with us on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots Friday. Josh, in that vein, the offensive line's had a couple guys miss some practice time this week. Looks like you might have a little bit of a different lineup on Sunday. How comfortable are you with the depth of the offensive line and Doug Marrone and, you know, what that group might be able to do if it has a little different look?
I think Coach Marrone and our staff does a great job of preparing all their players, you know, and I have confidence in every one of them. And we've practiced that way every practice since we've started back in the spring, you know. We don't just stay in one combination. So I think guys have, you know, experience, you know, communicating with one another, you know, working in tandem with one another. And so I have a lot of confidence in whatever group's out there, and we'll see how the next 24 to 48 hours goes. But whatever it is, we know what our job is, and doesn't change what our goals are going to be.
Josh, I believe the Patriots are among the lead leaders in the number of plays to execute a scoring drive. Just curious if there's been an emphasis on trying to add the quick strike element this week, or perhaps maybe going forward with comfort, see some plays that stretch the field.
Yeah, you always have those in there. And I've kind of always been a believer of, you know, when you do it, it requires execution. It requires the defense to give you an opportunity. Sometimes they play things that, you know, don't present those opportunities to you. So, you know, there's a balance, certainly. There's a balance between being efficient and being, you know, over-aggressive and attempting to try to do too much to shorten drives. You know, sometimes you can create long-yarded situations for yourself as well. So try to continue to strike the right balance of being efficient, staying out of negative plays and negative situations, and not giving ourselves an opportunity to make some bigger plays to cut down on the number of plays you have to execute to drive the ball. But it's football. You know, two sides get a say in that. Defense has an opportunity to do something to limit those, and you know, you have to make good decisions when you call them.
Josh, I know you guys move on a little quicker than we do in the media and on the radio. I just need to rewind to the last play last week offensively, 4th and 1+. What was the coaching point on that? What was the sort of failure, the breakdown on that? How could that have played out differently? How did you see that play that sort of ended your day?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when it's zone coverage, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, people have to do and be on the same page about. I thought we were, for the most part, you know, and I think, you know, if the players, you know, always try to do the right thing. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're never trying to do the wrong thing. So, you know, I know we were attempting to catch the ball and get forward, get a first down. And in the split second, you know, that it took to make those decisions, you know, you look back on them and you say, you know, you wish you would have done this or that. And I know that, you know, maybe having an extra yard of depth on the initial route, great, you know, or catching it and trying to just dive forward. But, you know, there's a lot of plays that guys make when, you know, they give extra effort and all the rest of it. Just that one kind of bit us in the butt there at the end.
Josh, looking not just at Carolina and New England, but league-wide, offense is down significantly to a point where it's the lowest it's been per team per game in at least, I believe it's 20 years. What do you attribute that to league wide?
Patience.
Patience.
Have patience. Have patience. It's a process.
It's early.
It's a process. It's September, you know, and it doesn't mean there's an excuse for any of the plays that haven't worked the way we want them to, or the results we haven't received. So we're going to continue to be patient and work at it. Our guys are busting their butt every week to try to get to the point where we're executing at a really consistent rate. And we know that if we stick to the process and get to that point, that the results will come and will follow. So, you know, we kind of look at each day in its own right and try not to spend a whole lot of time looking backwards, just trying to improve the things we can make progress on and be a better football team this week than we were last week.
With that patience in mind, we're actually at Fenway Park today, and we always hear early in the baseball season, like, oh, the hitters are ahead of the pitchers or vice versa. Is there something to be said that defenses are ahead of offenses early in the year? Offenses need more timing, practice time, reps. Is there anything to be said for that?
I've never believed in that. You know, it is what it is. It is what it is. We've had plenty of opportunities, and we're going to continue to work at being as productive with those as we can. And I have great confidence in our group. I love the mentality we have. Braves has set the standard and the vision for what we want to become, and we're going to work our butt off until we get there.
Josh, I've kind of always wanted to ask you this question, and there seems to be no more relevant week than this week. You know, when you see the Carolina Panthers uniform, the first person that seems to always come to mind still to this day is Cam Newton. What was that year like coaching up Cam Newton, you know, replacing Brady, the unique circumstances went into that, and what kind of challenge slash fun was that for you, you know, sort of like tailoring the offense to Cam back in 2020?
It was an incredible experience. We were all miserable because of what we were going through relative to COVID, but being around that player and that person for a year was a blessing for me. Certainly loved every second of being around Tom and all that, and I know the transition was, you know, different and all the rest of it, but Cam, certainly one of the great players and certainly one of the great Carolina Panthers of all time for sure, and one of the great players in our league, and just getting to see his perspective and his personality, and obviously the challenge of trying to, you know, create an offensive way of playing that fit him and his skill set, and watching how he related to our players, and just had a different leadership style about him. I relished that year because it taught us a lot. We learned a lot, and we had a lot of fun trying to get to where we wanted to get to. I know we didn't ultimately achieve that, but I really enjoyed my time with Cam and still do to this day.
Josh, I know, and we'll get you out on this, you were here in sort of the heyday in the winning of Boston and all the teams in the championships, and the Red Sox, magic number is one. They get a win. They're in the postseason. Just wondering if you've been following along with the Red Sox little rebirth, resurgence at all this summer. What do you like their chances heading into the postseason?
Absolutely. Big fan of Alex and what they got going on there. And, you know, they've put their head down and competed their butt off all year, and I've earned the right to be in this position, and certainly all of us here are pulling for those guys like we do all the Boston sports teams. And so I'll certainly be rooting, and if I can get to a game on a Friday night or something here down the road, I'll certainly be there and, you know, pulling for our team.
Just a heads up, if you want to log in tonight, it's actually on Apple TV. Not everybody has that. It could be a pain in the ass for some of us that are trying to watch the game, and just I'm sure you have it, but...
I don't know how to log on. I know that. Somebody else is going to have to get that done for me.
And if you make it to Fenway, Andy says he owes you the first round of beers, Josh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. More than one round. They're all on me. All right, Josh, good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Josh.
Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator of the Patriots. I think Fitzy getting a little bit more of a feel for his offense and, more importantly, his quarterback. That would be my first takeaway from that discussion. You know, the first week he's saying, what did he say? He's the right guy, and I love Drake, and he's this, and he's that. And you know what that is? No disrespect, but that's like blowing smoke up our skirts, as Ted Johnson would say. Now, he's got almost a month working with him in actual live game action. The good and the bad. He's seen a goal line interception. He's seen a fumble trying to do too much. He's also seen... Oh, did he just step up in the pocket and flick it to Ramondre for a nice wheel route? Like, he's seen the good and the bad. I think he, more than ever, tone more than words, is all in that Drake May is the quarterback for him to sort of lead this offense with.
I think he's a huge believer in number 10 under center, and by the week is imagining how much more he can do. I think, Andy, what I sort of glean from all of that as well is, geez, I can't say it to these guys right now in this interview, but if everybody else would just learn as quickly and had the talent Drake did, we could be an MF and great offense. But it's just, but you know, he hinted at that, like patience. We got to work ball security. You know, it's one step at a time. Vis-a-vis, come on, guys, let's go. Just get everyone speed up. Get out, everyone get on Drake's page, and we can start putting some LFG back in this offense.
Yeah, if you just get rid of the 6 turnovers, the poor play in the red zone, the turnover on downs, with the game on the line, like starts. We'll be rolling, baby, and putting up points. But I knew it would be a little awkward to ask, but we got to do what we got to do. It's Friday. The game was on Sunday. I was pretty sure we wouldn't get chastised like Vrabel did to the regular media when he was like, if you're asking me about the last game on Wednesday, we're going to have a problem around here. But it was interesting to get his perspective on the 4th-and-1+ throw to Pop Douglas. So let's listen to that one again.
Zone coverage, you know, there's a lot of things that, you know, people have to do and be on the same page about. I thought we were for the most part, you know, and I think, you know, if the players, you know, always try to do the right thing. I mean, that's what they're trying to do. They're never trying to do the wrong thing. So you know, I know we were attempting to catch the ball and get forward, get a first down, and in the split second, you know, that it took to make those decisions, you know, you look back on them and you say, you know, you wish you would have done this or that. And I know that, you know, maybe having an extra yard of depth on the initial route, great, you know, or catching it and trying to just dive forward. But, you know, there's a lot of plays that guys make when, you know, they give extra effort and all the rest of it. It just, that one kind of bit us in the butt there at the end.
So he gave you full honesty there. I thought that mm-hmm. last little piece was full honesty. Get deeper on the initial route, catch yep. the ball, and dive yep. forward for the first down and live to fight another play. Get the ball back to Drake and the offense so we can keep fighting, and don't try to make a big play. Don't try to be a hero. Like, he summed it all up nicely at the end of his answer, and I'm guessing that's something he's passed along to Pop Douglas and really all the receivers this week.
Yeah, I think that's translation, not being fluent in Josh yet, but I believe that's, I got a little cute, he got a little cute. We should have just gotten it done, and then we could have gotten cuter or a little more creative. He knows.
I'm not sure he took the cute. I think he was putting the cute on Pop Douglas there as much as he's going to publicly. Absolutely. I mean, he basically told you, could we have gotten another yard on the route? Yeah, sure. Could he just dive forward for the first down? Sure, but a lot could happen. No, like, he's telling you exactly what should have happened on that play. It's a zone coverage. You're mm-hmm. going to throw to the first guy who pops open. That was Pop Douglas. Like, mm-hmm. he's telling you Drake May did the right thing. The play should have worked if the guy had either just run the route better or fall. Actually, both didn't need to be true. Where he ran the route, if he just mm-hmm. dives forward, first down. Or yep. get that yard before you catch the ball and then just fall down and you have a first down. Like, I thought he was very... very honest with the assessment of where that play went wrong. And I don't think it went wrong with how it was drawn up or how it was read by the quarterback or anything. It was just the execution mm-hmm. of the wide receiver there. And that's fine. I mean, that's not, you know, he's not the first guy that'll make a mistake with a big play on the line and learn from it. Now, I know a lot of us don't really want to see him get the chance to continue to learn from it. A lot of us would like to see other options there. Either Stephon Diggs be more in the slot, Efton Chisholm be more in the slot. Chiz, absolutely. You want to make this Chisholm week in Boston with Bill Chisholm and Efton Chisholm? I'm all for it. It's Chisholm week. That's a way to win. Big Chisholm. Chisholm coming to Boston. Right now, Ken is like, how many times can he say that before we get
really,
in trouble?
Honestly, like the FCC is cutting us a lot of slack this week. But actually, I would like to call out at WEEI.com, our pal Mego wrote a piece about Stephon Diggs. I was going to ask Josh, I feel like we asked him about it last week, so I don't want to just keep hitting on the same notes and tones over and over again. But, you know, the whole, like, well, we got to get Steph the ball more and we got to get Steph going. Mego wrote a piece saying that his slot usage this year is down lower than it's been in years, likely because they've been putting Pop Douglas in the slot more. Well, guys like yourself, myself, Ted Johnson, none too happy with his slot usage and especially production. So put Diggs in the slot more right now if you have to do someone else, and then get someone else who's got fleeter feet that can win on the outside in the X. Well, I mean, it makes a lot. If you're not going to put in Chisholm, then at least put Steph Diggs at the slot. You know he can win there with those hands and his veteran moves.
Speaking of guys that you may or may not put in, Travion Henderson. I think we all believe he's going to have at least an increased role this week, or similar maybe to the role that it was in the second half last week after Ramondre Stevenson saw his opportunities limited. We'll get the audio a little bit later. Mike Vrabel said today they're not benching Ramondre Stevenson, just like they're not benching the quarterback. Like, the guys that fumbled are not being benched. Opportunities could change. We've seen the videos from practice where first rep was going to Travion Henderson. But I thought it was very interesting that Josh was optimistic about Travion Henderson. It seems like the rest of the world's a little bit down on the rookie running back, but it doesn't sound like Josh McDaniels is.
I'm not discouraged with Travion at all. I think Travion's also, you know, learning each time he goes out there. I've had a lot of different backs, you know, in their first year, you know, and the production is, you know, it comes, you know, when it's time to come, you know what I mean? And the reality is they're learning as they go. Each week's a different challenge for them. They're preparing for NFL opponents for the first time. This will be his fourth opportunity to do so. There's a lot that goes into being ready to do a lot of different things well on game day. And Travion works really hard. He's very diligent about his preparation. We know he has talent, you know, and it's just a matter of continuing to improve and make progress. So I'm excited about what Travion's going to do for a long time here, and eager to continue to work with him and help him get there.
But are you excited what he's going to do this week against the Panthers and their run defense that isn't great? Fitzy, is this breakout week for Travion Henderson, given everything that's going into this game?
This is breakout week for the Patriots offense at large, especially and led by the rushing attack. Like I mentioned in the interview with Josh, that's the 25th ranked rushing defense in the NFL. Now, they can cover, their corners can cover all day. And with the Patriots not exactly having Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on the outside, I wouldn't be surprised if the Pats try to utilize the tight ends, big Hunter Henry Day incoming, and especially the running game. The Panthers, as Chris McClain from WFMZ told me this morning, are banged up all over the interior of their defense as well. So if there ever were, there was going to be a week for Ramondre to possibly get right, but most importantly, Travion to break out, this is it, Andy. This has to. If they can't run against the Panthers, then this, even with Ben Brown subbing in for Jared Wilson, then this offense is in terrible.
617-779-7937. How you feeling about the Patriots this week? How you feeling about the offense that turned the ball over six times, including on downs to end the game last week? You feeling better about Drake May taking care of the ball? Are you feeling better about Travion Henderson taking over in the backfield? Will we finally get some production from the exciting young rookie? 617-779-7937. Talking a little Patriots-Panthers up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now more of Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Travion Henderson, I understand. You see the Ohio State highlights. You see the kickoff in the preseason. You hear some of the practice reports about how he's really good. Most of it was in the passing game. What have people seen so far that makes them think that Travion Henderson needs the ball more? I mean, just to let people know, Travion Henderson to this point is 39th out of 40 running backs with a negative 1.94 rush yards over expected. That's in the whole league. The only other guy is some guy on the Panthers who I barely heard of. He got a chance in that game. He rushed 11 times and averaged 2.5 yards per carry.
Greg Bedard bringing the numbers.
Yeah, I kind of got a little lost in the sauce there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of numbers above, below expected.
Let me tell you, yeah. I don't think Henderson has looked great.
He has not.
I thought he was fine week one. He couldn't break away from any tackles and had no space week one.
Right.
But he was very involved. He didn't do anything against the Dolphins. He got benched, actually, against the Dolphins because he couldn't pass protect. And then last week, I didn't think he did much when he had an opportunity with two of the running backs ahead of him. For the most part, benched. Stevenson got a couple of snaps in the second half, but for the most part, benched. That said, Carolina is a year ago was historically bad in run defense. Travis Etienne ran all over him in week one this year. They're giving up more yards per carry this year than they did last year when they were dead last in that stat.
Oh, they're ripe for the picking.
Assuming that Ramondre Stevenson, and I would bench him, Antonio Gibson fumbled last week. Assuming that Travion Henderson is at the top of the depth chart. Did you see the practice video the other day? He was getting the first handoff.
Was he really?
Then Gibson, then Stevenson.
Good.
Hopefully the punishment runs deeper than just reprimanding them in practice.
Yeah.
If Travion Henderson's the lead guy this week, you shouldn't be fearful of it, Mike Vrabel. I don't care what the numbers are in the first three games, Greg Bedard. And if you can't trust him this week, I don't really get why you drafted him at 38. This is the spot to do it. Bad run defense. The other guys are fumbling. He deserves the opportunity. This is where you turn him loose.
Seems like a no-brainer to me. You know, week one, he had 11 total touches between the run and the pass game.
Yeah, he was involved week one.
Yeah. Didn't do much with it. Week two, only five. You mentioned the playing time getting taken away.
Got flagged a couple of times because he couldn't pass block and got benched. Yeah.
And then last week had a career high 11 carries and also had three more catches. And so one thing about him, and I know these are short passes, but every time he's been thrown to, he's caught it. It's been at least a productive play. But 3.4 yards a carry, running it is not good. He's not making anybody miss. He's running right at guys, it seems like, and he's going down pretty much on first contact. And based on the preseason and obviously the kick return touchdown was great, but even just him, you know, running up the sideline, catching a wheel route or, you know, just he ran really hard. And you're like, all right, this is one guy they have that can score a touchdown from anywhere on the field. They went the last several years without even having that guy on the roster. Mm-hmm. And now you're like, I think he can do it. Because Steph Diggs, more possession right now. Maybe Kayshon Boutte can do that. Maybe. Of the running backs, though, you're like, no, it's Henderson. And with both of the other guys fumbling, like, it is such a – it's just on a tee for him for this week. But I think – I wonder if McDaniels and Vrabel already have their mind made up on, like, when they're going to put Stevenson in the game. Or is it – let's see how good Henderson is. But if Henderson misses a block, has another holding, or – is running right into the line of scrimmage again. We need to win this game.
Yep.
We can't just send a message to Stevenson because Stevenson has had more big plays than Henderson has this year.
So I was just looking this up. If you want to go on the positive side for Travion Henderson, he's second on the team in yards after the catch.
Yep.
First is Stevenson. So that does speak to Stevenson and some of the explosive plays he's had.
Yeah.
And even before he got benched last week, he had a couple of big conversions in the passing game. But Travion Henderson is second on the team yards after catch, and he's whatever, 1, 2, 3, he's fifth on the team, I think, in receptions. So it's not just he's racked up a bunch of receptions, right, and he's going to get the most yards after the catch. The downside would be five different players have run the ball this year for the Patriots. Three of them are running backs, and everybody else is averaging more yards per carry than him. 4.5 for Gibson, 4.1 for May. I know those are different kinds of runs. Pop Douglas has a carry for 4 yards. And Ramondre is averaging 4 yards a carry. Travion Henderson, as you said, Keith, is down at 3.4. Mm-hmm. And his game is elusiveness and speed. And I haven't seen him make many guys miss. No. So, you know, that's a nitpick. That's a gripe. He hasn't been great the first 3 weeks. That doesn't mean he can't be great. But this is the opportunity. And I would turn him loose against Carolina, partly because I think it's a good matchup to run the football. And the other part is the other guys don't deserve it based on their fumbles.
No, they don't. And then I guess the argument would be, like, does he really deserve it? Is he getting more reps based just on what else is going on around him? Kind of. But what I would do is I would stick with him if it's getting, like, tackled early around the line. That's something that would be like, all right, maybe he's still going to break one. If he's messing up every pass protection, then I get it. Like, if you're impacting all the other plays, then at that point, like, you probably got to sit him down.
That's true. But again, then, like, what are you teaching him? Or what did you do with the misevaluation? Because the book on Travion Henderson is he could pass protect. That was, like, a big plus.
Oh, McDaniels was even saying how, like, guys like White and Vereen, they all had to learn it. They all basically had a red shirt. Guy, like, he's the most ready.
This guy wasn't supposed to learn it. This guy was supposed to know it. So either
you teach it,
either you had a trash evaluation or trash coaching once you got him here and you're not teaching it to him.
Well,
I don't know what it is, but the guy was supposed to be able to pass block. So I don't, if he's not pass blocking, I would look at Vrabel and McDaniels and some of the offensive Tony Dews, some of the offensive coaches and wonder what the heck they're
going to put this on Tony Dews.
I like to go above that, but he can be on the list as well.
We'll start with Tony Dews.
Yeah.
And then we'll work our way up.
So you can discuss that, the Patriots, who gets benched, big test for Vrabel this week, which we'll get to, plus a lot of tweets rolling in at Jones and Keefe.
All right. Lots
of feedback on our top five sports mascots.
Obviously, it was a great list. You can check it out.
Yep. Check those out for sure. People also love Terp. It's amazing.
Yeah, Terp's well-liked. I think you want to know why, and this is no disrespect to Terp. No disrespect to Terp.
There it was.
Jesus, Nick. Nick was having a perfect show, too. Blew it.
Out the window.
Blew it.
Like Toronto. You had a no-hitter go until the sixth.
Yeah.
Lost it.
No, Terp may very well be liked on his own.
Yeah.
But it's when he's in a room with us.
Boost the likability.
Yeah. That happens.
That's true. Our pal Ray in Cumberland. Terp, good job, like always. Cole on Twitter. Terp got to be on the Mount Rushmore of best current Boston beat writers. That's a real compliment.
Well, that could be a top five Friday.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a good one. We should do that. That's a good one.
You're like, it's Terp,
Scott.
Scott Bradford.
Bradfo.
It's like, all right, guys. Like, no, this is all of Boston. It's all about, you can happen to find all of them at WEI.com, but it's all of Boston.
How about the Ella? This is a great compliment too.
What Ella say?
Pure Hoops Talk. Love it. When Turpin joins the show, you call him Turpin.
Turpin?
Yeah.
Justin Turpin.
You know it's serious Celtics insight.
Yeah.
On the market side, it's a good reminder of how team performance drives value, kind of like Aaron Walsh.
Bot. Doesn't count.
We're counting bot compliments.
That's a bot compliment. We'll take it. It goes down as a view or a like or whatever. We'll take it.
All right, so shout out to Turp and Aaron Walsh there. Good market insight.
I didn't realize the similarities between the two until now. That's good. Good intel.
Big week for Vrabel, though, Keith. And
it's a massive week.
It's the second time we're saying it in the first month. I keep repeating myself on this.
That's true.
But we said it going into Miami, and credit to Vrabel and the Pats, they came through with a win. But I'm like, boy, already it's like you lose this game. We're starting to question everything you do. Then they win against Miami. We stand down going into Pittsburgh, Carolina after that. You should get some momentum. And then they lose that game last week in horrific fashion. Penalties, Vrabel crying about the penalties after the game, turnovers, Vrabel excusing the turnovers after the game. And it's like, boy, you're right back. I don't want to say on the hot seat. That's way too strong. But under the microscope. And it's going to be his personnel decisions. What does he do with Stevenson? What does he do with Pop? Is Christian Gonzalez back in a full go? Is he even back? He's the one who said he sat him down last week. So is Gonzo even back? Have I missed anything today? Have they made an announcement on that yet?
No, I haven't seen it.
So there's that. There's also cleaning up the penalties, cleaning up the turnovers, getting a win going into Buffalo next week. Because you don't want to be 1-3 with Buffalo on national TV and a chance to drop to 1-4. You don't want that. So already twice in the first month, we're like, geez, Vrabel's whole operation is already on trial, and I just didn't think we'd be there this early.
Yeah, now this is a massive game, because if you go to the worst-case scenario and they lose, you're talking about a 1-3 start. You're no different than Gerard Mayo at that point at 1-3. It's three home games, so now you have an uphill climb to even be .500 at home, right? Because you still have to play the Bills at home, and you still have a couple of other more difficult home games, I should say, than what you've already faced. Vegas, Miami, Pittsburgh were all kind of coin flip-ish games, right? Like, and Carolina's worse than all three of them. And with Buffalo looming, like, we're almost all giving that one a loss. So there's a big difference between starting the year 1-4 and even 2-3. Like, that is the difference. But it's still being like, all right, we're a third of the way through the season. We're still in this thing. Like, we're still very much in the hunt with the extra wild card. 2-3, you can kind of survive.
2-3
is, well, I don't know if you're surviving 1-4.
No, 2-3 with a loss to Buffalo is kind of the tiebreaker.
But Carolina?
We can all wrap our heads around, right?
Lord.
I had them at 3-2 through 5 weeks. So if they're 2-3, whatever. They're still in range.
Right.
1-4 feels like a disaster start, especially with all the home games against beatable teams.
And we don't think you're going to have the excuse of your best player not playing, right? We think Christian Gonzalez is going to return. And you have a couple of things that you can really kind of coach up here. It's also like what you do with it. It's not just a regular week. Like, your starting running back fumbled twice. One of your receivers failed to pick up the first down at the end, which everybody thought, including the coach himself, they should have been able to pick up the first down on that play. So what kind of adjustments do you make? You've had these flat starts in each of the losses that you've had. And then you were in those games at the end, but it was like, well, maybe if you didn't have such a bad start, maybe you, not, instead of being in the game, you'd win the game. And so, yeah, it's been a frustrating start to the season, but a win on Sunday, I mean, you can at least take a little bit of a breath starting the year 2-2. Like, okay, that's not bad.
Let me give you some good news when it comes to the Pats, and Gonzalez could be on that list as well. Jared Wilson, who had not practiced, we didn't really talk about this all week. Jared Wilson had not been practicing. Your starting left guard, rookie out of Georgia, hadn't been practicing. Ben Brown was getting all those reps. He is back at practice today.
Huh.
Now, media's only there for stretching, missing 2 days, back on a Friday. He could play. He may not. That could certainly impact, even against a bad Panthers run defense. That's something that could impact it. But taking a spin looking for Gonzo news, he is back out there today on the practice field. We'll get the practice report later on today.
I mean, that'd be six practices, and by all accounts, he really wanted to play last week.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Well, Gonzo,
Vrabel's the one that made the decision.
Gonzo, I expect back. I'm curious where
Wilson
checks in on there as well. So you guys can discuss 617-779-7937. Let's go to Ralph in Cranston. Hello, Ralph.
Hey, guys. Look, Henderson, I said it before the draft, I would love to see a second-round pick on this guy. He's a specialty player. You are not going to run this guy first and 10. He's not that kind of guy. He's at speed like I've never seen before. And you use him, especially in the third quarter. The defense is a little tired. He's not going to be that running back right now. And you know, guys, some teams weren't even going to draft him because they said he's got injury history. He's not a big, tough guy. He's not. But what he brings to this team is not – he's got to learn. He's got to bulk up. They're giving – handing him the ball. And I know the two guys
are
from a
Ralph, he has –
they're handing him the ball first
Ralph,
and 10.
He has the same frame as Jahmyr Gibbs. So – and I don't recall injuries for him at Ohio State. Maybe let me look this up.
2022, he played in 8 games. So maybe he missed a couple. But he had 13 as a freshman, 10 as a junior, 16 games, which is crazy how many games they play in college now. Like, if you make the tournament, like you just play more than an NFL season.
I wasn't claiming he never missed a game in college, but I didn't remember that as a big knock on him. His frame, Ralph is right about. But there are other backs with that size and that frame. And I'm not telling you to necessarily give him everything going forward. I'm saying for this week, this is a week to do it. But, you know, they're a small back. Bucky Irving in Tampa is small.
Oh, yeah.
Jahmyr Gibbs is the same dimensions. So,
but you can give him the ball on first down. I mean, I'm not giving him the ball 20 times or handing him the ball 20 times. I think he averaged 12.5 yards a carry per game in college. Was still very productive, and they threw to him a lot, too. So I feel like you can give him the ball 10 times. So last week was 11, but it wasn't very effective.
No.
But that's as much on him. That's on him. That's on the line. That's
that
on
was
everything.
Disappointing.
Yeah, that was.
He got benched week 2. Week 3, he kind of got the backfield by default because everybody in front of him got benched.
Yeah.
And he didn't really do anything.
But what would be like, if you're looking at them to be close to 50-50 run pass, give or take, right? Especially if you have the lead, you can more afford
to do
that.
Yeah, how many carries for Trevion Henderson?
No, how many carries for the team?
Oh.
Let me ask you this way.
25?
Right. So at first you're like, well, you got to have Stevenson active because if you want to get the 25 carries, not true. You can go 10 with Henderson. You can go 8 with Drake May. And then do another 6 or 7 with Antonio Gibson, and you're still hitting that 25 number. So I don't think
7 or 8. Good call.
No, but May should factor in. Like May's probably your best consistent runner right now.
Oh, I on a big play, like a gotta have it play, he's the guy I want running the ball the most, and that acknowledges that he's turnover prone as well. 617-779-7937. Speaking of those turnovers, how do the Patriots clean up their turnover issues? Can they do it this weekend against Carolina? We'll get to that right after Trending with Billy Laney.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We got to get the rest of the leads going this morning. That includes one right now from Courtney. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Yeah, it's Rapture Day. And so I found myself on Rapture TikTok yesterday. My algorithm was just people talking about the Rapture. Is it going to happen? Is it not going to happen?
Anxiety level must be tapped for you.
Oh.
Like you got to be in the red on this thing.
Absolutely.
Right.
What I found really interesting, and if you don't understand what the Rapture is, it's those that God is going to save will be ascended.
By the way, earlier on the show, and this is a texter who pointed it out, very assumptive of you to assume that you are among those who will be saved.
I pray every night. I have no idea. None of us do.
Right. All you have to do is repent. If you repent, it says in the Bible, you'll be saved.
You don't know until it happens later on today or perhaps tomorrow or maybe even Thursday.
Well, repent now. Yeah.
Given the way things go, it's going to be 10:04 a.m.
the rest of the people will be left here and then terrible things happen. But what I found really interesting were people that are very confident that they are going to ascend, that they are going to be saved in the rapture. And one of those people has become... I would call her a rapture influencer.
Okay.
Melissa Johnston, who not only is talking like it is definitely happening today that she and her family are going to ascend,
yeah.
but she is preparing her house for those who are going to be left behind.
Oh, okay.
Here is Melissa.
So yesterday I posted a video asking, what are we doing to prepare our homes as Christians for the people who are left behind? So like, here's my little list. And then I went ahead and did these scriptures that like, I don't know, kind of elaborate a little bit about what Christianity is and how important it is. And then I did a letter to people, and I'm going to leave it. I don't know. I don't know where what I'm going to do with most of this stuff. I just want people to have as much preparation as they can. I'm going to go to the store today and stock up on Bibles and some other things like candles, because I think that there's not going to be any power. I don't know if there is. Cool. If there's not, at least we've got that covered. So anyways, let me know in the comments if you're doing something and add it to my list.
Seems like a lot of work. And also, is she going to leave him any food? That would be the first thing. I would appreciate some sandwiches or whatever.
Are you going to keep the receipts in case the rapture doesn't happen?
She has a full pantry stocked for these people. She has door codes written on her doors for people to enter at their leisure.
Yeah.
She has these straws that you put into any type of body of water, and it filters the water for you.
Life straws.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, what does she do when it doesn't happen? Today.
Exactly. But for me, you hear little children in the background of her videos. Aren't they terrified? Like, these people that are so confident that this is happening, are they telling this to their children as well?
Courtney, your mom has you check the, 600 spots of every hotel room when you're
around. But my mom doesn't tell me the world's going to end on Tuesday. Say goodbye to your friends.
Well, right, but your mom's
a creeper.
Your mom's not, deep and heavy into religion like that. She's probably...
my parents go to church every Sunday.
But she's probably telling them, we're repenting.
Are there a lot of people on TikTok who believe that it's actually happening?
There was one man, I believe in Australia, which Australia is ahead, so nothing's happened there yet.
Yeah.
But he sold his car, gave his car away, said he doesn't need his car anymore.
Gave it away?
Yeah. Posted about it the other day, said, don't need my car.
Now, listen, any chance we could get this woman on Beat the Geek on Friday if the rapture doesn't happen?
I can
reach out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. She's a rapture influencer.
She has become kind of the rapture influencer,
And you were worried about what you're supposed to wear for the ascension.
Well, there was one girl who did a funny TikTok, very tongue-in-cheek, that said, what are we all wearing?
Yeah. Well, you should probably do one of your videos where you're like, guys, get ready with me for the rapture.
Yeah.
If you want to wear the same thing I'm wearing, link in bio.
Make some commission.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll keep you up to date.
Right.
We'll let you know when the rapture is happening, should we get early advance notice on it.
If you want to know what to do, go see the movie This Is the End with James Franco.
Great movie.
Seth Rogen.
Good movie.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of about this here.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're left behind, because
such a funny movie.
The world will burn up anyways.
Right. Okay, that's a bad death.
All right. Courtney, thank you. Wiggy, good morning.
All right. Good morning. So I'm wondering this, and as I started to think about this, and I believe Drake May has talent, and I think he is going to be a good quarterback. And I would say the Patriots need to do something that they didn't do for Mac Jones, but they should do it for Drake May, and that is get this man some talent. And I know the trade deadline is still, over a month away, November 4th. Mm-hmm. But I ask the question is, to really know what Drake May could be, I think you're going to need to get him a legitimate guy, whether that's through a trade, a disgruntled player at the trade deadline that might want a change of scenery. And hopefully if the Patriots are still in the mix and still competitive enough, if they can beat Carolina and push them to, would that make them 2-2? They might be thinking about those things, but I feel like if we really want to know what Drake May is, he's going to need that. And I know we talked about that a lot with Mac Jones when he was here.
Yeah.
And I would, you know, criticize him and saying, you know, I don't think it would matter that much because I don't think he's got as much talent.
And just to be clear, Steph Diggs is not that guy.
No,
doesn't count.
No, Steph Diggs is not that guy. Listen, we love Steph Diggs. You know, we love the fact that you are in a relationship with Cardi B, man. More power to you. You got a bad one right there, brother. But he is not that guy. He's a possession receiver.
Wiggy, yeah. I wholeheartedly agree, but do you think they'll actually spend the money necessary to get a guy like that?
I don't know, but if they don't, they are really, really not doing Drake May justice to really see what he could be.
Isn't this an indictment on the Mac era when you're seeing him? Nobody thinks Mac's great. I have fun at his, you know, at Shime's expense. He's not a great quarterback in any way. But look at what he is. Look at what the Dolphins got out of Tua, who I think, in hindsight, is basically Mac with great weapons around him.
Well, to Mac's credit, like, when he plays with Brian Thomas Jr. last year in the Jaguars, like, he's not terrible. When he plays with Ricky Pearsall and the San Francisco 49ers and Christian McCaffrey, he's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, it helps every quarterback to have actual weapons.
All right, Wiggy, thank you very much.
You got it, brother.
You mentioned Patriots. Great weekend for sports.
Mm-hmm.
Some good college games.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State, Ducks, your Bulldogs.
Taking on Bama.
And Bama. I believe there is a Chiefs-Ravens game, which is happening this
weekend. 425.
425, the greatest thing in the world.
And the Ryder Cup. And so Keegan Bradley, who we had on this show not so long ago, is the captain of the U.S. team and spoke yesterday at Bethpage in New York, where the Ryder Cup will take place, about his decision to pay U.S. golfers. So those on the Ryder Cup team will get $500,000. They can keep 200 of it, give 300 of it to the charity of their choice. European players are not being paid. They're trying to turn this into the an advantage for the Euro guys because they are playing for the love of the game while the Americans are making money. Here's what Keegan Bradley said about that yesterday.
I'm not concerned about what Europe does or what they think. I'm concerned about what my team's doing. And, you know, I was tasked with the job the PGA of America asked me to do. And, you know, this was what we decided. And, you know, we wanted to bring the Ryder Cup into today's age. And we felt like this was the best way to do it. We copied a lot about what the President's Cup does. You know, we did the best we could, and I think a lot of good is going to come from this. I think the players are going to do a lot of good with this money, and I think it's great.
Any issues with these guys being paid?
No problem. You know what the Europeans are? Suckers. Suckers.
Yeah.
Well, I would say this.
Remember those great T-shirts they had at Brookline? Like the hideous T-shirt they all wore on the final Sunday.
Yes,
I would just get shirts that said "Say thank you" on the front, and on the back it would say "You'd be speaking German if it wasn't for us."
I would love for you, because we got what, Winter Olympics coming up this winter. Hold that same energy, because I say the same thing when it comes to the U.S. Olympics, where they don't pay our Olympians.
Well, they get something, but not a lot.
But these other countries, they give them bread. Yeah. So I have no issues with you, especially in these type of tournaments, paying your best players to give you an opportunity for you to win, you know, the Ryder Cup, right?
Yeah, Ryder Cup.
Yeah, so I'm with all that.
And Keegan Bradley seems dialed in on this, Shime. Like, literally, like a hardo. Like, he wants to win this.
Oh, yeah, there is nobody that wants to win this more than Keegan Bradley. Yeah.
He wants this
more than anything. We'll get to more golf-related audio in They Said It as well. Greg, little tease for you.
Okay.
Curtis loves audio from this guy because he may be one of the biggest douches in all of sports.
Ah. Oh, I love it.
Well, that is a developing storyline when it comes to the Ryder Cup.
Correct.
Is the chippiness, the back and forth taunting between the guy you're talking about, I believe, and Bryson.
He is one of the guys chirping at Bryson. Yes.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Those are our leads right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the Lions take down the Ravens in Monday Night Football, 38-30, the final after a big fourth quarter for Detroit. Lamar Jackson completed 21 of 27 passes for 288 yards and three touchdowns in the loss. But we got to talk about Lions running back David Montgomery, who had 12 carries for 151 yards and two touchdowns for the winners. The Patriots are mourning the loss of former vice president of player personnel, Bobby Greer. Greer worked for the Pats from 1981 until 2000. He passed away at the age of 82 over the weekend.
Can we all say a prayer and continue to say prayers right now for my man, my beloved Bill Parcells, because the Greg Hill Show jinx is a real thing.
Yeah.
And I am sorry that
he looks very healthy.
Even Bill brought Parcells. It up.
I'm not worried about it. He looks very healthy.
The socks are screwed. Like what Greg did yesterday you should be banned from Fenway.
Screwed. We have a legit pennant race. For the first time since 2021, going
in
on
the
right
two
now.
The two Six. Teams they're facing to end the season are diabolical.
We are in the catbird seat. We're sitting at number two. We don't want home field advantage. We don't care about being home at Fenway. Yeah. Like, let's go. Let's lock this baby down.
Yeah.
I didn't believe in jinxes until I started on the show, and then even then I was like, yeah. But now it is a real thing. Yeah.
Greg, you know what I say about the Sox? Why not us?
Well, those Sox are back in action tonight. Their second-to-last series of the regular season is against the Blue Jays in Toronto. 7:07 first pitch with Lucas Giolito getting the start. Mike Monaco joins Will Fleming on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 6:07 for the MassMutual pregame show. That is what's trending. When we come back, we've got They Said It.
WEEI Afternoons. We'll go right to the phone lines for our buddy Tom E. Curran. Tom Curran on WEEI Afternoons is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Tom Curran, how are we doing today?
Great. What's going on with you?
So I'm doing great. Thank you. Just very excited. We just actually had some barbecue dropped off in the studio. So I may be distracted and thinking when this interview's over, I'm going to be eating ribs.
Nap time.
Later in the show, I could get a little drowsy. Tom, the news broke today that Robert Kraft is divesting 8% of the Patriots, 6th Street, 3%, Metropolis, 5%. But I think the thing everybody wants to know is, when we hear about Tom Brady being a minority owner of the Raiders, why couldn't Tom Brady have been one of these minority owners of the Patriots?
Well, I suppose he could have. Did the Patriots offer it then? Was Tom Brady on a different plan? I don't know. I mean, we kind of talked about this a week or two ago when Brady was spending time with the Raiders prior to the Raiders game. Why wasn't Tom here? And I guess it takes two to tango. Did Tom want to work with the Patriots? Did the Patriots offer that to him? I kind of think it ran its course, to be really honest. He can say he's a Patriot all he wants. And I believe that. I don't think he's lying. But I think the whole triangle of love really ran its course. I don't think that if you said to Tom, would you leave the Raiders right now to come back to New England and be a minority owner and switch that thing right out? I wonder if he would, because 20 years is a long time. And by the time Tom left, he was, I think I've said this with you guys before. I know I said it to Jonesy, but Tom wasn't pissed at Bill for being Bill, because Bill was always Bill. And he was trying to get Tom out of the door for years. Tom was more pissed that Robert Kraft divested himself of responsibility in trying to keep Tom around. That was unusual. That was something that Robert had done prior. So I think that the more we circle back to this and say, well, why isn't Tom here? The relationship with the Patriots, there's all love, there's all enjoyment, but I don't think that they all wanted to work together anymore. So I'm not surprised.
Yeah, I just remember that comment in 2019 training camp. Go ask Mr. Kraft in regards to his contract. So that would validate your point. All right, TC, you got Drake May. He's in the top 10 of a lot of different categories: completion percentage and passing yards, passing touchdowns, passer rating. But yet the team's 1-2, and he still turns the ball over at a high rate. I guess what I'm asking is, can you succinctly and eloquently put in perspective how you think Drake May has been playing so far through the first three games?
I think we're seeing all the improvement that you hoped, maybe even more of it in terms of execution and improvement based on the fact that he's married up with Josh McDaniels and he's getting much better protection. But I still think that he's got that 1 foot still in the backcourt. You know, it's still stuck there in the past where he has to figure out how to get away from those kinds of plays. And given the decision between an electric play, a chunk play, and no play, he needs to start taking no play. I mean, the Miami game just stands out, Ted. That's what he can be.
Yeah.
And more. But the decision last week that we watched, in especially with the fumble, I mean, the first one was bad enough because I think that really anyone could see that you don't throw low on the goal line. And a lot of lesser quarterbacks at lesser levels would not have thrown it that way. And that was a mistake. But the other one was he was doing it right, doing it right, doing it right, screwed it up. He had two hands on the ball. He was doing the right thing, and he just didn't go down. So to me, he still has just 1 foot stuck in the back, but he is making great improvement, and you have to be encouraged. And I know that you're close friends with him, and I know that you guys had a great relationship, and we all enjoyed watching him plenty up here, but there are so many Bledsovian mistakes that Drake May makes that it's all I can compare it to. I've seen this. And Drew went to Super Bowls, and he was a Pro Bowler, and he was on a Hall of Fame arc, maybe if things had gone differently. But you got to get that stuff out of your system somehow.
About a little bit this week, I'm sure you guys probably have to a degree as well. Are you a little bit disappointed to the start of the Mike Vrabel era? Are you happy with the speaking of arc and trajectory, with how things have gone thus far?
They should be 3-0. They should at least be 2-1. They have a chance over the next 10 games. They're playing 7 really bad teams that they could be 9-3. I mean, legitimately, they're playing the Bengals without Burrow. They're playing the Titans, the Browns, the Jets, the Giants, the Falcons, the Saints, the Titans. And they haven't played a wagon of teams yet anyway. But they're better than those teams, and I wouldn't have said that last year. They're better than all three of them. They're better than the Steelers. I mean, they had 21 expected points taken off the board. According to this guy, Kevin Cole, does expected points, and it's really a good site. But they lost 21 total points on those plays, the 5 plays that were turnovers. So in that vein, I'm happy if I'm a Patriots fan to see a much better football product on the field, but disappointed that Mike has not been able to yet extract from them the pound of flesh for the mistakes they make. And I think he has to be meaner. And I think some of the players have to be meaner to each other. I think they're all very nice to each other and understanding. Yeah. But somebody's got to say, we got to cut the stuff
off.
He didn't say it. He's fine.
Careful.
He's fine. He's good.
Careful. I agree with you. I always thought to be a great leader, you got to be willing to be an a-hole sometimes.
He's being mean to Ramondre right now. He's got him buried in the depth chart right now.
We'll see. We'll wait till Sunday. Okay, Mayo was going to bury him too until he didn't. And that leads me, Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, to my question. In totality, if we include their post-game comments with the media, who had a worse day last Sunday? Was it Ramondre Stevenson or was it Pop Douglas who was laughing about the final decisive fourth down play?
Ramondre by a lot. The laughing thing, who's the quarterback? Was it Derek Anderson with the Cardinals who flipped out after he was caught laughing on camera, and then he just went bananas in the post game because I think Kent Summers asked him about it. I'll send you the video. Look, Derek Anderson flipping out post-game press conference. When guys laugh at their locker, I just don't put a whole lot of stock in it. Or they're laughing on the sidelines, during blowouts or something. Everybody wants to see the buffet table flipped over and somebody take a swing at a reporter to prove how much people care. I know that they care. I know that they care. The crease of a smile on Christian Gonzalez's face when he talks, everybody deals with stuff differently, and I think it's a sign of comfort. Not people say, oh, he's uncomfortable. I think it's a sign of comfort that you operate from a place of, well, people must understand that I didn't want that to happen. I'm embarrassed by it. I wish that it had gone differently. So they don't have to sit there and pretend and put on this guise of being, oh, I'm terribly sad. Of course you're sad. Everyone knows that. So I don't know. You got me down a road here. I don't love that question. That's your fault, Mom. That's my fault, not yours.
So you don't give Ramon
to like answer it in great detail, but I don't place a lot of stock in facial expressions. I'm sure he's bummed out.
And you don't
at a worse day.
And you don't give Ramondre credit for handling it maybe in a professional way, saying if I can't hold on to the ball, seemingly.
If he was professional, yeah, but he could have said that after any one of the first seven fumbles before last Sunday.
Now we're bullying.
You mentioned his name.
Walk it like he's talking.
That's it, Tom. You mentioned his name, Christian Gonzalez. I'm just curious how you think Christian will be deployed this week and what kind of impact you think he'll have.
I'm figuring probably a 20 snap day. It would depend upon how he progresses and how he looks as the game proceeds. But they've taken their time, put it mildly.
Yes, they have.
So maybe it's going to be a bigger a load for him than we're expecting. But I would imagine you want to manage it so you don't have a recurrence, because there's much more unexpected and high-speed plays that await him in the game than he can find on a practice field during the week. And I think he'll have an impact. Great team to go against if you want to have an impact, because the Panthers stink, and they don't throw it very well. I think they're averaging 4.9 yards per attempt, which is anemic. Of course, the Patriots are allowing 8.7 or so, which is also ridiculous. But Patriots. What is it? The Panthers can't run the ball and can't stop the run, and that gels nicely with the Patriots. Are you know all the metrics show up, including you'll like this. The Panthers are 2-17 on the road since the beginning of 2023. The Patriots are 3-16 at home. Something's got to give.
Wow, this is a real crap off on Sunday, isn't it, Tom?
Totally.
It kind of is.
2-17 against 3-16. But on the whole, though, what kind of grade, though, if we're just sort of like looking in on short term evals, how do you feel about the defense overall?
Unfortunately, they had a tremendous performance last week erased because they weren't just good last Sunday for a long stretch of time. They were unbelievably good. I think it was six straight drives where they probably allowed a total of 8 yards. So the defense is certainly trending in the right direction. They're not going up against ridiculously prolific offenses yet, so it would be better if they started to get fat and put wins into the win column against these teams. But again, the schedule is not going to get that arduous either. So the opportunity is there. I remember in 2008 when they went 11-5. You remember how bad the league was that year? And they still didn't make the playoffs. The Patriots didn't. The Castle year. It's just the AFC is down. The Patriots' schedule is so friendly that they have a great opportunity to make strides this year, record-wise, if they just don't play dumb. I mean, they can get themselves to mediocre in short order.
Tom, there was some audio I heard yesterday on socials coming out of Gillette from Stephon Diggs. I think it was the last question of his interview with reporters. Hello?
What happened there?
All right. That's Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Apparently, he put us on hold. So screw him and forget him. I don't need to know about Stephon Diggs and his tough offseason and what he was referencing from a reporter who was in attendance. That was Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston. He was mostly good today until he put us on hold because he had to take another call.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
No matter where you work from these days,
take Jones and Keefe with you on the Odyssey app.
Favorite WEEI.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Friday. We're going to talk to the milkman, Milton Williams. Don't call him Milt the Stilt. I got to break that habit.
The milkman.
The milkman. That's what he told us his, nickname, his nickname is last week.
And it's a great one.
Tremendous.
Yeah, the milkman.
He always delivers, as he did at the end of the Dolphins game.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk to him any moment. We got the grab bag coming up for you. We got clip du jour, but it's a Friday, 1 o'clock, which means time for the keys.
Rich Keefe was going to be a couple of keys.
And now, what are your two keys tonight? Keefe presents.
So you're basically listing like 10 things, and out of those 10, four of them come correct. And you're like, see, I told you.
Keefe's keys.
Today's keys to the game.
Keefe's keys.
Time for the keys to the game.
Keys to tonight's game.
Who's going
to
win?
Probably one of the worst segments I've ever heard on Boston radio.
Only the keys can tell.
There's a key right there.
Keefe's keys.
It's Keefe's keys.
All right, we got the Patriots, who are 1-2, taking on the Panthers, also 1-2. Pats are 5.5-point favorites. We have a total of 42.5. Kickoff, 1 o'clock from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Since 2000, the Patriots have a winning record against every NFL team except Green Bay, San Francisco, Kansas City, Seattle, and Carolina. But they're 3-3 against the Panthers, so the Pats can reduce that list from 5 teams to 4 teams with a victory on Sunday. If the Patriots hold Carolina under 100 yards rushing this week, it'll be the second time in team history that they have held their opponent under 100 yards in the first 4 games of the season, joining the 1964 Pats.
64.
I don't know what the hell's going on with the Carolina Panthers. First off, there's 2 Carolinas, so be more specific. Also, Panthers aren't an actual species. Instead, the term Panther is commonly called upon to describe leopards or jaguars with melanism. And that's what's even more maddening, is that Panthers and Jaguars entered the NFL in the same season.
Confusing. Yeah.
Ramondre Stevenson is 9th on the Patriots' all-time rushing list. Just think where he'd rank if he held on to the ball. The Panthers' mascot is named Sir Purr. That's the same thing I used to call my ex-wife. There is no evidence that black-colored Panthers exist in North America, let alone North Carolina.
Oh, boy.
Sex Panther works 60% of the time, every time. And it's made with real bits of Panther, so you know it's good. Former Panther great Julius Peppers is one of 2 players ever to compete in both the Final Four and Super Bowl. But he lost them both.
Not great.
The cost of living in North Carolina is approximately 1% lower than the national average, while Boston is about 48% higher. So, in your face. The most famous thing from Charlotte is the half-zip starter jackets that everyone had in the 90s.
I had a Saints one.
Hunter Henry might be surprised to know that he enters this week ranked 5th among New England tight ends with 2,370 receiving yards and needs 118 yards this week against Carolina to move past Jim Whalen into 4th place on the Patriots' all-time list among tight ends.
We might hear that again next week.
Jake, daylight come, and you gotta delome.
That's it.
Watch your profanity.
The Panthers are looking to become the first team to three-peat since the Islanders did it in the early 80s. The Panthers were an expansion team in 1995, the same year the Jacksonville Jaguars entered the league.
I heard that.
Carolina drafted Kerry Collins with the fifth pick. The Jags took Tony Boselli with the second, and the rest is history. A history that Bruce Smith would like to rewrite. And we got one more here, John.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got one more. We got time for one more.
Yeah, we have the time. Yeah.
Why you got time it? For one more? Yeah, in 2003, Stephen Davis ran for over 1,400 yards in the season and then continued that success through the playoffs until Carolina reached the Super Bowl. Then he ran into the Patriots' homeland defense, anchored by big Ted Washington. Not only is Washington a massive human being, he's also very smart. He is credited with coining that nickname.
He nicknamed himself. I didn't know that.
And the Panthers do have one Derek on the roster.
Yep.
Defensive end Derek Brown. So Derek advantage squarely with the Carolina Panthers.
I don't feel good about that. The Steelers had the Derek advantage last week, and they won. I think that's the only time it's coming to play this year.
Yeah, somebody had a Derek on the practice squad. It's kind of hard to
I
down.
Forgot to check if they were an active
5.5's a lot of points.
Game day player.
5.5's a lot.
That's money line for sure, but
yeah,
that's way minus.
You're not winning any money with that.
But I'm taking the 5.5. They cover the 5.
I think they cover the 5.5 as well. I could see it being somewhere like, I don't know, 24-17.
24-17, so you like the under. 42.5.
42.5. Yeah, probably the under.
You got burned by the over pretty hard last week.
Yeah, because I don't know how Carolina scores a lot of points. I mean, Hubbard and Tet McMillan are probably both going to play, but they're both banged up. I think Bryce Young stinks, and if Christian Gonzalez comes back and plays even more than 50% of the snaps, I don't know where they – because they – the
Counterpoint, and I understand Christian Gonzalez would be a big addition. Counterpoint, defense has been pretty bad and carved up by pretty mediocre quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah, you got that straight.
Yeah.
Now, there's really, two good drives they allowed against Pittsburgh? Because they gave him a short field.
Yeah, well, two drives to start the game and then the winning drive. I mean, that counts. Yeah. I don't think Rodgers played great, but...
That's what I'm saying. He threw for like 130 yards or whatever. Like,
yeah, so you're right. Carved up is too strong with Rodgers. They lost to Rodgers. The other two quarterbacks carved him up, though, and those are not good quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I mean, the first drive, I guess, was a little bit longer than I remember. It was 54 yards, right? The second touchdown drive was like a real touchdown drive by Pittsburgh, where they marched all the way down the field. Then they kind of figured it out in the middle, and then, yeah, the game-winning drive. So you're right. The over – now, the under hit last game just because the Patriots turned it over so many times.
But if they got – I mean,
yeah,
if they scored on that last drive, the over was going to –
It was going to hit. Yeah,
good
point.
The over was about to hit.
Yeah, I don't think I feel strongly one way or the other on the over or the under. I feel more strongly that the Pats win by more than 6.
So I'm just taking a quick spin here, Vrabel, and so those were the keys. I think it's always safe to wait for
you
want to
do
keys,
that
keys
before you
place any bets. Yeah. But yeah, I'll lay the 5.5 points. I think the Patriots will do that. I'm just taking a quick spin through here. Vrabel is about to start speaking.
Okay,
so I'm curious if we get any kind of insight on Gonzalez. I feel like he hasn't done that on Fridays. He just kind of says what the
injury report
is. Oh, here
we go. This just into the news desk. Okay. Our guy Taylor Kyle's the first I saw to report this based on just what Mike Vrabel said. Jared Wilson out.
Out. So he was there earlier today, and now he's out. So Ben Brown will be your left guard.
And he says,
that's not great.
Christian Gonzalez, Mike Onwenu, and Kalavon Chasen will be listed as questionable. So Gonzalez, he was questionable last week, didn't play, but he's listed as questionable. So the one player who is out is Jared Wilson. So, you know, game 4, you're already going to see a new offensive line, Ben Brown in there. And then Onwenu, and now you hope that's just like precautionary or whatever, but can't be down both guards. Then the running game is going to be a bit impacted. Because I think Ben Brown will be fine for a game at guard.
I think you can get by for a game there.
And against Carolina, like I think you'll be all right.
Does it change how you want to, like we said, run all over them? They're still a terrible run defense, even with a downgrade on your offensive line without Jared Wilson.
I still like the idea of, you know, Drake May, put him like running around a little bit and let him choose to throw it or run it. And if you're doing that, you're usually running outside the tackles anyway. So I don't think... Hopefully Ben Brown doesn't become a huge factor. But, yeah, that's too bad because Wilson, after a so-so week one, looked pretty good week two. And then last week, I don't know, we were just so concerned with all the turnovers that we spent a lot of time there. But that's unfortunate.
I would still run. You can run on this team. And I don't think the back matters, but I'd like them to hold on to the football, which is why Henderson, to me, would be the guy to run. Dice sent in a bold prop bet this week.
What do you got?
This is not the Bozo Touchdown. This is not.
No, that's upcoming. We'll be doing that shortly.
Part of the Bozo Touchdown Parlay. That'll be in grab bag.
Part of Dice's Bozo Parlay.
Well,
though.
Yeah, I guess yeah. He's got his own one going on. Patriots defense, special teams, anytime touchdown. He says they're due.
Well, I mean, I guess so. What's the number on that?
Probably juicy.
Probably
800.
800? Now, they've already ran a kickback. Maybe they can get a defensive score, you think?
Yeah, either or. We'll take either one.
All right.
Patriots. 800 is my guess.
Plus 500.
Oh. Nah, not even that. Not even that juicy.
Plus 500.
Yeah,
not even that juicy.
Who counts Bryce Young?
Oh, great point.
It is Bryce Young.
Great point.
All right.
I was thinking really almost purely special teams, but yeah, great point.
You want Pats for two touchdowns defense?
Yeah, what's
plus
that?
4,500.
Oh, double dip.
Yeah.
Now we're cooking.
Well,
you parlay that with Terps over 40.5 or juice it up to 44.5 for the Celtics. Now we're really talking.
Well,
so you heard Keefe's keys to Patriots and Panthers this weekend. You can do what you want with that advice. But let's talk to a member of the New England Patriots here on a Patriots Friday. It is Milton, the Milkman Williams, joining us here on a Patriots Friday. He's brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market. You can look for the new lower prices, everyday tags throughout the store, and save on the items that you buy most. Milton Williams, how you doing this week?
Man, appreciate y'all having me. How y'all doing?
Doing great. It's interesting timing to have you on here. This offseason, you almost signed with the Carolina Panthers. In fact, Adam Schefter said it was done at one point in time.
Mm-hmm.
How did it all go down in free agency, and how close were you to actually being a Carolina Panther?
No, it was definitely close. Like, everything, like, I talked to a couple of my vets going through free agency. They all told me it was going to happen fast. Like, it's going to happen so quick. Like, you ain't going to know what happened. Like, so, no, they wasn't lying. So, like, it came down. Like I said, it came down to those two teams. They were calling back and forth, getting contract details and this and that and blah, blah. So, I'm just sitting there waiting to see, like, what's going to happen. And then, you know, then New England came in, gave me the offer and everything that I was looking for with Coach Graves and all that stuff. Carolina, they didn't want to give me certain details in the deal that my agent was trying to get for me. So, I mean, it really was a no-brainer choice for me. But, you know, it almost happened, but you know what I'm saying? It didn't happen. And, you know, I'm a Patriot now, and you know, I'm trying to do everything in my power to get this organization back where it's used to being.
You know, how big of a potential return would Christian Gonzalez be for your defense on Sunday?
Man, y'all know the type of player he is. And you getting a player like that on any level of your defense is going to give everybody a boost. So, for sure, having him out there is going to help us. Hopefully, he can give us an extra tick to get to the quarterback. And then, you know, the rushing coverage, we work together. So, hopefully, we get the extra tick to get back there. Or, shoot, we can call some bad throws and shoot, have the quarterback throw him one or something. So, no, we're just in there working together. It's going to be good to see him back out there. And, you know, we're going to go out there and try to get a win.
How's he looking on the practice? He's been six straight practices, as Keith said, where he's been limited. He's questionable for the game this weekend. How's he looking when you've seen him out there with you guys?
I see him looking pretty good. He went up for a pass today, like quarterback overthrow. He went up. So he's looking like his old self. Let me say that. He looking how he was looking. When he was fully healthy back in OTA. So I'm excited to have him back and ready to see what he do Sunday.
What can you tell us about this Carolina offense? I know last year when you were in Philadelphia, you got a chance to play against them and Bryce Young, Chuba Hubbard, that a lot of those guys on the offensive line. So what stands out about the Panthers offense?
They're just a solid team. They play really clean football. They got a good running back. I don't think he get a lot of credit for the things that he does. I don't think he is as flashy, but he get the job done. He run through arm tackles. I mean, he can catch. I mean, he can make all the plays. They got a playmaker at quarterback. He can see it. He can throw it. And, you know, he can run around back there and get out the pocket and make plays with his legs. So we just got to be sound as a defense as far as, you know, stopping the run game. Get in the quarterback face. He's not a big guy, so hopefully we can get some passes knocked down. But knowing that he's a playmaker, and we got to have everybody on the same page to make sure we get him on the ground and get off the field on third down.
Milton Williams joining us here on Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Friday. Now, on Fridays, Milton, we talk to you every other week. We also do something called a Top 5 Friday. Keefe and I did our Top 5 sports mascots earlier today in honor of Sir Purr, the Carolina Panthers mascot.
It's a good mascot.
Do you have a favorite sports mascot, college or pro, from when you were growing up? Current day, is there a mascot that that you like or appreciate?
College?
You sure,
college,
if you want
right?
to, yeah. Anything you want.
I think growing up, I always was just a fan of, like, the Longhorn, the Texas Longhorn.
Bevo.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I was always, I don't know why, I was just always a fan of seeing him run out before they get four games and things like that with the big horn. So growing up, I was a fan of the Longhorns. I didn't really have an NFL mascot, really.
Mm. We know you're a big basketball fan, too. The NBA season's just around the corner. Are you going to be showing up at some Celtics games? I know in years past, a lot of Patriots on, like, off nights or off days during the week usually find themselves with pretty good seats around the Celtics games.
Oh, yeah. So when I came down, I was looking forward to going to a couple games. You know, it was playoff time when I got down. I'm like, man, the Celtics, they finna go back to the finals. And then, JT go down, and it was like, man. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, I think it was the next game. I was going to go to the next game because it was a home game. So I was going to be in the building, but it didn't even happen. So hopefully once JT get back healthy, you know, I'll definitely be in the building for a couple games for sure.
Okay, now right across from TD Garden, actually, is the Old North Church in the North End. Keith?
Is that right?
In the news recently, there was a stolen brick out of the old North Church that's been returned to the crypt because the person who stole it claims they believe it's cursed. They believe that the brick is cursed.
Really?
Do you believe in anything like a curse or anything like that, Milton? Is there anything you're superstitious about, even a little stitious about? Do you believe in things of that nature?
Man, I believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I try not to give any of that stuff any attention. So I hear that, I'm like, nah, let me stay away from wherever he was at. Talking about something cursed, I don't want none of them problems.
So yeah, that sounds like something Mac Hollins maybe would deal with.
Oh, good.
Have you had any conversations with Mac Hollins about some of that stuff?
No, he probably loved all that stuff. Okay. I don't want nothing to do with it.
He probably does.
All right. Well, speaking of that same topic, who would you say is the funniest guy on the team? Offense or defense, doesn't matter.
Funniest guy on the team. I got to go with B-More. B-More is a character.
Okay.
B-More is a character. So since I've been here, we sit next to each other. Our locker's right next to each other. Man, he just be having fun, man, and it's good to see him back. But he definitely is a character.
Very okay. good. Well, we'll add Christian Barmore to the list. I know Michael Wenu, who joins us every other Friday with you, has said Will Campbell, you just kind of look at him and laugh, is what he said.
Will funny too.
Okay.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, nice. Well, it's a good locker room. Milton, we appreciate the time. Best of luck on Sunday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. All
right. Thank you.
Milton Williams on a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. Yeah, the brick was stolen.
I didn't know this.
Yes.
And he's like, I can't have this.
They sent it back, like, unmarked postage. They sent it back, and they're like, it's cursed.
Cursed brick.
They had a string of bad luck in their personal lives. They didn't explain what it was. String of bad
Maybe
luck.
That's just general karma for stealing. Maybe don't steal stuff.
An eye for an eye sort of thing.
Yeah, a little bit.
You're saying. Got
little
it.
Bit.
It's interesting. So he likes, we should have connected the dots. He likes Bevo and he's the milkman.
I also did like, yeah, he likes Bevo the milkman.
We should have, well, I don't know that you could milk Bevo. I bet probably not, but you know.
I also like.
Same idea.
Probably like a lot of fans. You're like, hey, you going to go to a Celtics game? He's like, yeah, when Tatum comes back.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, it's like,
great point.
They're like, they're going to play like for 7 months.
I'll take
like,
them serious when Tatum's back.
Maybe in March. Yeah. Hey, March or April, you'll catch me at the Garden.
Good
like,
point.
Fair enough.
Good stuff from the milkman there. Milton Williams on a Patriots Friday here on Jones and Keefe. If you missed any of it, Odyssey app, you can use the rewind feature. Go back and check out Pop Douglas this morning. Greg asked him a real whopper of a question this morning.
Oh, he absolutely did.
I guess his phone was iffy, and he said, you got to move a little couple of yards closer to your phone. You're getting bad service.
You move a couple yards off, I think he said.
Yeah. So if you miss any of that, again, AUDACY, get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. We will get you the clip du jour coming up, and right after Trending with Billy Lanny.
It's time for Grab Bag.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.